you guys are doing here, ATLC International, here in the city of Dallas. Dallas Fort Worth, Metroplex. I want to make sure I get that tongue tie out there before we get started. Looking at some minutes when we get started, but we want to welcome you guys for coming on board with us on this afternoon. We got a very interesting crew of men and women. God is always with us and listening in to the work we're doing here at ATLC. But I want to make sure I give some, just want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, the woman of God, Pastor, Apostle Gibbs, and Pastor Willie Gibbs out there in Haven, Connecticut. I want to get some information up on them as I get ready to get started here to get ourselves in position to receive what the Word of God is speaking to us on this particular afternoon. And I actually harvest New Light Church Tuesday night testimony service. I want to kind of give a shout out to the woman of God, and I'm going to tell you some information about her. Well, the name of the church is called New Flames Restoration Church. Powerful ministry out there in the area of Haven, Connecticut. For those who are out there in the Haven, Connecticut area, you want to make your way over to 1375 State Street there in Haven, Connecticut. Very powerful work that she's doing out there in the ministry, what God has called her to do in the season that she's in. She's got a very powerful service that's going to be coming up, a ministry that's going to be actually bringing forth the power of the kingdom, the word of restoration, and the lives of individuals who have a heart that want to be saved and hear what the word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. And also want to give you a number on them also. That number to call them is going to be 203-865-8995. Once again, I want to make sure I get that information to you correctly as we go forth to hear the word of God that's going to be coming forth on this particular afternoon. I want to give a shout out to them as been great men and women of God in the ministry. And that's Apostle Bernice Gibbs. And that's Apostle Willie, Pastor Willie Gibbs. I want to make sure I get that right. And that's going to be actually Flame and Restoration Church out there in Hartford, Connecticut. Had a chance to talk with her just a little bit before the service came on. Wonderful woman of God, doing a great work in the ministry. And it's always great for you guys to be with us on tonight as we get ready to pull ourselves in position to hear what the word of God is speaking. It's coming from the kingdom of God. You know, it's such an opportunity, you know, as we continue to get ourselves in position. As we got the man of God, Dr. Albright, is going to be on with us tonight. We got the man of God, you haven't heard from him in a while. He's kind of had to get some things in position. Now he's back on track, and that's going to be Elder Kerry Williams. But I want to look at the Word of God as we go into our actually prayer before we get started. I want you to make your way over to the book of Psalms. I'm going to look at Psalms here for a sec and get ourselves in position to hear what the Word of God is saying. Say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, to whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. God has redeemed us from the hands of the enemy with the words that come out of our mouth. The word of God declares that so if we begin to speak, and so shall we prosper. According to Romans 4:17, we have been given the ability not only to speak, but to call things in events and circumstances to be not that the word, knowing that God has got a plan for our life. And it supersedes far beyond more than he can imagine, either think of, or you can imagine or think of. Hey, look, the number to call in tonight, if you're going to be a part of this service tonight, or you can just call in and listen in, the number is going to be 929-477-1191. We've got the man of God that's going to be coming in and being a part of the work here at HNLC Studios on tonight. Most of you are actually going to your internet and look to our actual shows we've got coming forth. You know, the numbers actually, they speak for themselves. You know, the flyers, if you're looking at the flyer, and it's going to say everything that you need to know right there on the particular flyer. If you call in, hey, look, you call in, it's 929-477-1191. It's pretty simple. You know, this particular station is unlike our Spreaker station. It's a very different station, but it does the work that God has called us to do. All the stations that we have here at HNLC does the work that God has called us to do in the season that we're in. Well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer and get ourselves in position to hear what the Word of God is speaking to us on this particular afternoon. It's coming from the kingdom of God. We just declare, we decree in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we know and understand that God's got a plan that supersedes far beyond more than we can imagine, even understand. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you for this time, this moment with you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we declare that even as we begin to speak, Father God, every demonic force and every demon, every spirit and every phantom that try to come against that with you declared according to the kingdom of God, Lord, we loose it in the name of Jesus. And by the manifestation of the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, Father God, we ask you to watch over the word on tonight as we begin to move forth and know that to you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Father, we thank you and be blessed for this time, this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, we ask you to look over us and keep us as we go forth. Father God, guide us by the precious power of your Holy Spirit and by the words that you have spoke over our life, Father God. And even as we begin to go forth, from the time we were born, Father God. You created and designed us to be a manifestation in the earth today. And as we begin to look forward to the work you called us to do, Father God, let us know and realize and understand that you're always in control. Then no weapons formed against us should prosper. Father God, we thank you for this time, this moment that we're about to share with you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord. Amen. It's truly a blessing for you guys to be with us on this particular afternoon here at our actually Tuesday testimony service. As I said, once again, I don't want to sound redundant, but I want to let you guys know the number to call in is going to be 929-477-1191. That'll get you right into the studio if you want to actually come into the studio and be a part of the actually conversation that's taking place tonight, which is our Tuesday testimony service. You just push number one on your dial, and that'll light you right up, and we'll get you right in here. And we're here with the Word of God. You'll be hearing what the Word of God is saying that's coming from the kingdom of God. Let's flip our Bibles over to something here interesting and how God has called us to be a testimony to the kingdom of God, how we as man and women of God go forth, and how God has really called us in the midst of the circumstances we are going through, that we got the ability to know that God will bring us out of whatever it may be that's trying to hold us back, that what he's given us and declared from the kingdom of God. You know, the Word of God speaks a very awesome word. You look at the Word of God over in Psalms 107, and that's reading from the King James Version. He said, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, I just want to kind of just, you know, we're talking about testimonies tonight. When you're giving thanks unto God, you're giving thanks unto the testimonies of the things he has brought you out of. In my life, there are so many testimonies I have, small, big, and large. But, you know, it always equates, as I say, to the point that God is always in the midst of doing what he said he's going to do. You know, the Word of God tells us he's not a God that he shall lie. He's not a son of any man that he had to repent. He commands the word, according to the kingdom of God, to go forth and it will not come unto him void, but it will accomplish and do all that therein. Now, when you look at that word and you think about the word of Numbers 23:19-21, he said he's not a God that he shall lie, not a son of a man that he shall repent. But you go back and look at Isaiah 55:11, he talks about the words that go forth out of his mouth should not come unto me void. Now, when God speaks a word over your life and he continues to head you and keeps you, according to Jeremiah 29:11, the plan that he had for you is really more than what you can see. That even in the midst of you going through what would seem to be the shadows of the valley of death, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, yea, though I may walk through, am I there? The shadows of the valley, what seems to be death in my life. God is only testing me and proving me to the point that the work he has for me is more greater than I can imagine, even understand. Am I talking to somebody? God will give you a testimony. Psalms 107 tells us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Look here, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Why is that? In the midst of all the things we go through in our life, amidst all the circumstances, situations we deal with, guess what? God is always there to redeem us out of whatever the enemy tries to bring against us. Am I there? And what he does when he redeems us, he gives us a testimony, yeah, in the name of Jesus, about the power of the illumination, of the restoration, what he declared and designed in our life. And it's really more than what we can see. Am I in there with anybody? God's plan for you is really more than what you can see. It takes me back at a time when the ministry, and that's just a, you know, just a testimony. I'm speaking about how the power of God moves in certain situations in the lives of every individual. I can remember a time when I was actually starting the first part of this ministry some 20 years ago, when I didn't really understand the direction that God was going to give me. I knew the power of the Holy Spirit was on my life for me to move forward. And I remember at a young age in high school, I used to always see angels on the field. I didn't understand what these were. I dare not say nothing to anybody because they say I'm crazy. But God was showing me back then, even in the midst of out there during the course of what we would call our athletic play, God was just there showing himself to be manifested in the work that he called me to do. I had not understood what was going on. But God would tell me, if I continue to move forward, he would direct me and guide me. In the midst of all the things I went through the enemy trying to take my life, through the process of things I had to deal with, and coming forth to do the work of the kingdom of God, he was always there to show me direction. Many stumbles, many falls, many proclivities, many nights I didn't understand why I was out born. What was the reason? I didn't have any kind of suicidal thoughts, but I knew there was something that was stirring in my spirit, and I had to get to the bottom of it. And I knew I had to do a CSI in the spirit. I remember one night I was praying, and in the midst of me praying, I heard the Holy Spirit said, for you are called to do the work of the kingdom of God. And I didn't understand what that was because it was an inner voice. It was kind of like the process you read in 1 Samuel when Eli was dealing with the process of his son becoming forth. He was being called in the spirit. And he kept hearing the voice over and over again over there in the book of Samuel 3. And he kept getting up and saying, Master Father, did you call me? And the father said, no, I didn't call you. You're going back to sleep. But these calls continue to come to me in my junior year, in my senior year, more so in my freshman year in college. I began to see more and more visions. And the more visions I saw, the more demonic forces I saw. It was giving me illusions about how I would die, how would my life would be taken. I would get even through certain injuries I would have during the course of the time when I was playing my collegiate sports. I would get certain injuries, and the doctors always would tell me, one day you're going to be, the way your heart is set up, you athletes, y'all die from massive heart attacks. Y'all been known to die from massive heart attacks. And that stuck in me. And they started thinking all the time, God, I mean, here I am healthy and, you know, walking and doing the work that you want me to do. Why would I die from a massive heart attack? I thought, according to the word of God, you gave me the ability to call things. That means I got the ability to call my life in the position of what I need to be. And when I began to speak over my life and declare the word over my life, God said, you should not lie, but live. And when the process of the word God told me that, I began to get up and rejoice. And in my process of rejoicing, I wanted to know more and more about who this man talking to me in my ear. And I began to know more about the Holy Spirit. The more the visits came, the more I became delusioned to the fact that I didn't even know what was going on. I saw things that was happening that I didn't even understand what was happening. But I knew God was orchestrating a plan for my life and where he wanted me to go. I knew there was going to be a lot of persecutions. I knew there was going to be a lot of what we call proclivities, orange cones, ditches. All these things were going to come about. But I knew that the plan God has for me, he kept on falling back to me at Jeremiah 29:11. And one of the greatest scriptures he gave me during the course of time, as he gave me these various dreams over the years and time, is one scripture that stuck with me all my life, and it still is kind of plagued in my head, and I never, ever forgot about it. And I still today look at the very whispers of it, and I still understand, what is God saying? It's coming more to revelation now than they ever had before. I kept thinking, God, what are you telling me? Why do you keep on bringing me to the scripture all the time? Sometimes twice a week. Sometimes once a week, sometimes six times a week, sometimes every other hour, God brings the scripture to me in Psalms 12. He said, help, Lord, for godly men to cease. This is in Psalms 12. He said, help, God, help, Lord, for godly men has ceased from among the faithful. I didn't understand that because I didn't know a lot about the Lord at that time, but it still seems to oppose me today. And the reason it opposes me today, because I see more of the reality what it's saying coming to fruition. It's a help, Lord, for godly man has seen from among the faithful, among the children of man. They speak vanity. They speak vanity, everyone but their neighbor. Look here, with flattering lips and with a double heart, they do speak. Think about what he's saying there. Think about what he's saying. The Bible said, he should cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You know how sometimes we boast in ourselves, or people boast in themselves about how good this, that, and yada, yada, and whoop, they do, how great they are, and things. And the word of God said in the fourth verse, who have said that our tongues will prevail. Our lips, amidst in the last days, you know, they are stray away from the faith. They have itchy ears. They are move away from what they call sound doctrine. And they have seen the fall to things that have seemed good for them. But the word of God tells me also, but as a way that seems right, am I there to a man, but the end is his death. What are you saying to us, Apostle? It's come a time that we live in now, we've seen the things that take place in the earth. And as we see the things taking place in the earth, the more God's word comes more fluid, more fruition to the point of understanding. Men will have their own understanding, their own way about anointing, about grace, about what they feel to be the Holy Spirit. They'll lean to what they feel is right rather than coming to the understanding and know that God's plan in their life is really more than what they can see. The Bible declares and decrees, when you look at the fourth verse, he said, for we have said our tongues will prevail. Look here, our tongues will prevail. Our lips are our own. In other words, he goes on and says, our lips are our own. Who can tell us what to do? The Bible says, like we lack it, like God is not there, like he don't have enough to give us what we need. But I heard the word of God declare in my life, if you continue to walk upright, then no good thing will you hold from. That's what Psalm 84:11 tells me. But if I continue to stand fast in the midst of all the adversity that goes on in my life, God's plan supersedes furthermore more than I can imagine and even stand. What am I saying? Because I see in the testimony, my life is a testimony. My life is a testimony to what I see God doing in my life. I see the flaws. I see the ups and downs. I see the sad times. I see the good times. I see all the things that make me feel like I want to get out of this more and more each and every day. said the more I go into it, the more evil and wickedness become, the more hateful people will come. You know, you just got to kind of really tell us. Some Christians are just straight out downright evil. They just mean. They just honor me. For whatever reason it may be, this is what the Word of God talks about this in this fourth verse. For they have said our tongues will prevail. Our lips on our own. They got their own way of understanding what they feel that the Holy Spirit is doing in their life. They got their own understanding of what they feel is more encouraging to them when they come under the submission of the authorities that God has planned for their life. I don't know the thoughts and the plans that I got for me, but God knows. And he tell me that the good and the evil. Well, I can back it up with the Word of God that says that only I know the thoughts and the plans I got for you that are good and not of evil. I expect the future. My ways, your ways, my thoughts, my plans, your plans. I'm all farther than from heaven from the earth. God guarantees that we continue to walk in his word. Numbers 23:19-20 tells us it will not go back void. That he's not a God that he shall lie. My testimony and the things that I'm doing in my life is a testimony, good and bad. God always shows up in the midst of all the troubles that's going on in my life. If I believe, the Bible says, if I can just believe Mark 9:23. If I can just believe that all things are possible, everything is possible for him to believe. You got to have a solid mindset when you're walking in the kingdom of God. Because I'm telling you, man, God, the enemy going to come at you. And his job is to defeat you and make you feel other what God declared you to be. That's why I look at that Psalm 107. I give the good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say to who he has redeemed. He has redeemed me for the curse of the law. How did he redeem me? How did he redeem you? The Bible tells me, what is it, Romans 10:8-9, if I confess. See, already right then, God is beginning to work in my favor because I admit that I'm a sinner. And in the midst of me admitting that I'm a sinner, I'm giving you a testimony about how God can bring you out of whatever proclivities in your life. God just wants you to submit and admit that you are a sinner. You can't do it on your own. The Bible says your first confession is to understand that he is God. And not only is God, that we got to open our mouth with an open confession. And with that open confession, we got to declare a decree that God is in our life. And when he's in our life, it's really more than what we can see. Romans, over there in the book of Romans, you look at Romans real good. You think about Romans. Romans makes a strong statement against this particular area and what I'm saying here. Romans says in Romans 8:9-10, if I confess, or what saith the word of God, it is near me. It's right there in my mouth. If I can believe it with my mouth, if I confess it with my mouth and believe it in my heart, that God raised me from the dead. Now, what is my dead situation? Not only that Christ was raised from the dead, but if Christ been raised from the dead, I've been raised also. If Christ raised me with his son from the dead, which is I'm redeemed by the power in which he took on the cross, and when he laid down, when he raised up, he said, I got all power in the palm of my hand. So when he laid down, I raised up with him because I confessed and believed that if he laid down and he destroyed sin, that I'm with the one who raised up and defeated sin by the work he done on the cross. What sayest thou, apostle? The word of God. And if I confess with my mouth and I believe up off of my heart, not only is Lord, but he's Lord over everything. The Bible said, I shall be saved. So I'm being redeemed by the work the white Christ called me to do here on earth. He said, mercy and grace forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he had redeemed from his enemies. I've been delivered from my enemies. That's a testimony. Each time we wake up every morning, we got a Psalms 91 all over our life. We've been protected because now we're under the shadows of the Almighty. Because of the words we confessed out of our mouth, according to that Romans. When you look at that Romans chapter 10 and that 8:9, what sayest thou, man of God, woman of God? The word of God, if I can just speak and declare and decree it, if I can confess it, let it be known that I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the precious power of the Holy Ghost. And the word of God tells me, with that being said, then there is no weapon. Isaiah 54:17, there is no weapon can form against me that shall prosper. That every knee shall in my there fall, every tongue shall confess. That when the enemy come at you like a flood, God said, I got a standard that represents you and I, that what I've done on the cross, that when I laid down, you rose up with me, and all sin has got to be put to death. You got to want to testify. That's why I said you called him. You don't want to call in. That's wrong with you raising your hand. All you got to do is hit that number one button. I see all of you guys on the line. And I thank God for y'all being here, sharing the work we're doing here at HNLC. But the number to call in, as I said before, 929-477-1191. You want to be offered into the studio to have something to say about something that God has done in your life? It's a number one button on your dial. Just touch it. The people in the studio, the engineers will see you. They say, hey, you got a call coming up. You got somebody online that had a testimony, good or bad, late or early. God's got a testimony. God, see, he receives testimonies. Am I there? And as I begin to speak, and I hear the power of God moving, I see hands, and there's nothing wrong with the hands going up. But as the hands go up and I begin to offer you into the studio, you got to understand one thing. When you're on the line, you got to let it be God and nobody else. 306, I'm not going to give all your information now. The line with us at HNLC Ministries here in the city of Dallas, Fort Worth, now Tuesday Testimony Service. You're free to speak.
Hello, my name is Charles. I'm calling from Canada. How are you?
We're all good, Canada. We all good. God bless you.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I hope you can hear me okay, because we got a storm over here on our end, so I hope I'm not cutting in and out.
No weapon. Come on in. No weapon.
Amen. All right. But I have a testimony I would like to share, and it happened quite a few years back, and give the glory to God. But I guess I'll just start from the beginning, I guess, and it was a time in my life where I had a failed marriage. Actually, when my marriage ended, I didn't do anything wrong, but it ended some violence with me and my ex. And next thing you know, I was thrown out, and I'm on the street, and all I have is a garbage bag with some of my stuff in it. And that's all I have in the world. I'm out on the street, and I remember I'm on the sidewalk. I'm saying, okay, where do I go from here? I don't know what to do. And so I went over to my father-in-law's house and stayed over there for a little bit. And then I stayed there for maybe a couple of weeks. And I knew that the more I stayed there, the more tense things were going to be, and I didn't want to make it harder on anybody than it already was, and I had no money, and I thought, I've got to find a place somehow. And so through a friend of a friend, I was introduced to a landlord who owned an apartment block, and I says to him, I says, you know, my name is so-and-so. And I says, listen, I may as well just tell you honestly, I got no money on me. I just have my garbage bag with this, the few things. And I says, you know, when, you know, I do have a job, but a lot of my income is going to my kids and whatnot, which it should be, by the way. And I says, you know, until I get more up on my feet, maybe find extra part-time work, I could start to give you some rent. But for right now, I don't have anything. And his words to me were this. And he said to me, if you be straight with me, I will be straight with you. But just don't mess around with me. Just be straight. And I said, okay, I will. And so I got a place, and I couldn't afford any furniture or anything, and you know, until some paychecks started coming in, and so it was going to be a little bit. But during that time, I was making arrangements to have a visitation with my children, and my self-esteem was really low, because I was thinking, okay, now I'm twice married, I'm twice divorced. I'm just believing the lies of the devil, eh? Like, okay, now God has no use for me because I got no, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like there's a stigma attached to you in your divorce. It just feels that way. I'm not saying it is, but it just feels that way. And I just felt God just doesn't have any more use for me. You know, like, it's like, okay, I messed up twice. And so my self-esteem was really low, I'm in this apartment, and I'm trying not to feel like the world's biggest loser. And I'm I'm keep telling myself, okay, I've got to try and dig myself up out of this. And so I made an arrangement to have my kids come over. Oh, by the way, I have twins, a boy and a girl, who at this time were about, I would say, 8 years old at this time. And now I was going to have them over for a visit in a couple of days. And I'm like, I got nothing. I got no cutlery. I got no dishes. I got no beds, no TV. I got nothing here. And I'm thinking, and I said to the Spirit of God, I says, Father God, I have my kids coming over for a visit and I got nothing for them. I can't even provide for them. And I prayed to God. I says, God, my kids need something to sleep on. If you give me that, I'll be happy. Just give me that. You know, I did have a little bit of food, yes. And I says, just if you can give me a mattress somehow in some way, if you could provide for me a mattress, I'll just throw it on the floor. And they can sleep on that. Maybe a few blankets. If you can just provide me with that, that would be great. And so the next day, a friend of mine says to me, hey, Chuck, I hear you're looking for a mattress. I says, yeah, I've been telling a few people here and there. I'm looking for one if they could just spare one. I can't even afford to buy one. Then my friend says, well, you know, there's a guy out of town. His address is so-and-so, and his name is so-and-so, and he says he has a mattress for you. And I'm like, God answers prayer. This is great. I got a mattress. So now my kids have something to sleep on. And so through this friend of mine, we got his pickup truck and we're going to head out of town. We're thinking, great, we're going to go get this mattress. And so I got out there and I introduced myself to the guy who was giving me this mattress. And he says to me, he says, you know something, Chuck? I heard about your story and I'm going to give you more than just a mattress. And so he went to the back of his house and he had a large 3-door back garage. And out of those 3 doors, he opened up 2 big ones. And he says, Chuck, all of this is yours. Just take it. I don't want it. There's no charge. He says it's free. And do you know what it was? Hallelujah. It was a couch. It was a couple of beds. It was blankets. It was a TV. It was lamps. It was dishes. It was cups. It was utensils. And it was a fully furniturized apartment sitting right in front of me. And so to make this, and so instead of me going out there for just a mattress and going back home, it was 3 or 4 trips out there to get everything. And by the end of that day, I had a fully furnished 2-bedroom apartment, fully furnished, everything, TV, the works. I had everything. And all I wanted was just a mattress for my kids to sleep on. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all I asked for. And it was something that was for them. And I didn't even care if I was sleeping on the floor, even with no blankets and no pillows. Yes. I just wanted something for them. And, and you know, and God honored that prayer and more. It kind of reminds me of the scripture. I kind of forget how it goes. He's able to give more than what we could imagine or perceive.
You're right there.
And that's just one, and that is how, when we say a prayer, that's, it wasn't a selfish prayer because it wasn't for me, it was for them. And if there's any lesson I learned about God, it's this, it wasn't a prayer for me, so it wasn't a selfish prayer, but it was an intercessory prayer. An intercessory prayer is when you pray for others, you know, when perhaps they're not, when you pray for others. And the other thing, and so God answered that prayer. It wasn't so much for me, but it was for my kids. That's who he answered the prayer for. And that's just one of those, and he just shone. He just shine because it just caught me so off guard. And God blessed the need. It wasn't a want, but it was a need. And so, and God seen that, and he blessed it. And from there, you know something? I got a part-time job at on the side in the place where I worked. In the same building where I worked, they said, we'd like to offer you a part-time job as doing some janitorial after hours. That's not all night. It's just a few hours, a few days a week. And so, and within the same building, so when I got off work on my regular job, well, by the way, I'm a meat cutter, by the way, slash butcher. And so when I got off that job, the store would close. Then without even having to leave the building, I'd go do my janitorial job for about 3 hours and then go home. So, you know, and you know something? What do you say to something like that? You say, thank you, God, and you know, it just seems so lame. But you know how I can thank God? Is by walking with God, doing Amen. God's will. That's how I can Amen. Be thankful, is to walk with him. And you know something? Amen. And he has blessed me this day. I got the best wife in the world. I know every husband thinks Amen. That. They got the best wife Amen. In the world. Amen. But you know, and I am so blessed, and God has given me a ministry. I know I don't believe the lies of the devil, even Hallelujah. Though he tries to throw them at me once in a while. Yeah. But because of a discerning spirit, I recognize them. And Amen. So I just wanted to share this testimony that no matter where you are in your life or who's listening right now, when it's those dark times, that's when God will lift you up. It says in 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 5, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and yeah. he will lift you up in due time. It does say that. But you know something? He lifted me up in 24 hours.
Amen.
Because I had my need was met, and God is one of those things where God met it quickly. And so I just thought I'd share that story with you guys. And if he can lift me out of a pit where just for – and I was even in a homeless state, you know, for a little while, because I'm like I said, I'm on the street. I got this garbage bag. Where am I going to go?
Yeah.
And I look where I am today, right now, where I was then, where I am right now. I am a blessed man. And when I have a bad day and when I complain about things and whatnot, and I have my days, you know something? I have to always say, you know, there's somebody out there right now that would rather be in my shoes than the one they're in right now. They would trade spots with me anytime. And I am a blessed man only by the grace of God, not of my own works. And I praise God for that. But that's my testimony there. And but yeah, that's
Hallelujah.
It. So,
Hallelujah. You know,
yeah.
He supplies all I need. You know, according to his riches. I mean, God's got no limitations on his riches. That was a man of God, Charles Orsnick, out of Canada. He's one of our radio hosts, and actually brings a show that's coming out of Canada, Charles Orsnick Ministries. You got to get a chance to hear him on this coming Thursday. He deals with the area. Matter of fact, he's going to the second half of a teaching. He's talking about the occult. Very interesting study that he's going to be teaching about this coming Thursday for those who listen in. But I want to take a minute to share some information about a great man and woman of God before I bring out another great man of God. I think that's on the studio with us. That's Elder Carey Williams, out of Saginaw, Michigan. But I want to make sure I'm going to address this man and woman of God, who's a great woman of God, and that's Apostle Bernice Gibbs and Pastor Willie Gibbs, and they are all both running a new Flame Restoration Church down in the city of Haven, Connecticut. You know, and for those who are in the city of Haven, Connecticut, know where 1375 State Street is, you might want to make your way on over there. Tremendous woman of God, tremendous in faith. She's got some powerful events that's going to be coming up this year. I want you to go to her website, and it's going to be New Flame Ministry. That's going to be newflamechurch.org, or you can give her a call, you know, area code 203-865-8095, or you can reach them at 203-848-8831, or you can just go to the website and look up actually Flaming Restoration Church down there in the city of New Hartford, Connecticut. I want to make sure I get that right. A great woman of God, great man of God, just doing a great work for the kingdom of God. And we just want to thank the man of God, as I said before, that's with us and is able to bring on the other great man of God. I know he's got a powerful testimony that we'll talk about here. And Elder Kerry Williams, before I introduce him on in. Probably hadn't heard his voice in a minute. He's had some things he had to take care of, which I know he's doing that. And the kingdom of God had to make sure that registration was all in place. And now he's actually in full throttle. And I believe he's going to put it to the floor. And I know he's going to do a work for the kingdom of God. He's always has done. But I want to make sure that we're going to be leaving way for the man also, Dr. Albright. Sometimes he has a little hesitation over there, and God, and he comes in and out. And I was surprised that Charles got in pretty clear because they have some great storms up there in Canada. But we're not going to delay the time. We're going to bring the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, on, and we're going to let him have what he has to say, you know, some testimonies and just some great things that God has done in his life. And I know it's a lot. Elder Kerry Williams.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you tonight, Pastor Charles. Forgive me for being late. It took me a minute to find the new number tonight. But aside from that, God is great. I was just enjoying the testimony of a gentleman from Canada. And yeah, I remember going through some similar things with him. And I just wanted to encourage him and tell him to keep on going, because God truly meets us at the point of our need. And that scripture that it was already in my spirit, actually. And he reminded me of the scripture he was thinking about with Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. You know, and it says that now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. And that's one of my favorite scriptures, because that's the root of my testimony. You know, David said, matter of fact, in Psalm 119 and 2, he said, let me find it real quick. He said, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. And we got to understand that walking with God and keeping the law and the testimony of God is what gives us our own testimony. Amen. You know, I had a great time with the men of God today, you know, Apostle Charles and Apostle Albright, you know, because we've got to understand that God is yet on the throne. You know, when we shared a couple of amazing testimonies, you know, and one I want to share real quick, just a very small one, you know, I got so many, but just as recently as last week, I had an upcoming eye doctor's appointment, and a lady called me from the place, and she told me that there was an old outstanding bill of something like $400,000 or $4,000, some crazy number. That was from 6 years ago when I saw the same doctor. And I told the lady, I said, well, lady, I don't know anything about that. My insurance should have had that covered. And she said, well, the doctor's not going to see you unless you, you know, pay some money, this, that, or other, bring something in on it. And so I told her, I said, well, you know, y'all need to do some research and check that out. I said, but if anything else, I really need to see him. So I say, well, you know, if you can't resolve it by the time I get there, I'll give you, you know, $40 or $50 or something like that just to get it started. She said, okay, fine. When I got off the phone, I sat and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, you know that this is an error. It's not right, and I'm looking for you, and I'm expecting you to take care of this for me. And I didn't think any more about it. And then yesterday, the appointment was scheduled for today. Yesterday, the lady called, a different lady from there called me back. And she said, Mr. Williams, I'm sorry. She said, I know you spoke with someone and she wanted you to pay some money. She said, but she didn't bother to check. And we went in and saw that, in fact, that the bill was cleared a long time ago, but somebody didn't put the information in right, and that you have a zero balance, and we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Don't even worry about it. And I said, praise God.
Amen.
You know what I thought about? I just had a just had a little talk with Jesus. You know, and that's my testimony.
Wow.
Every day I just have a little talk with Jesus. You know, the challenge, you already know what's going on with my health and things like that. But I testify to you now that God is a healer and God is a keeper. The God that I serve does both for me. As long as I'm willing to continue to seek him, he's willing to continue to keep me and to heal me. Amen?
Amen.
I really look forward to hearing from Pastor Bright.
That's powerful. Yeah. Yeah, so I said, they run in French through there. And, you know, we got a role. I mean, whether he in and out, we hoping that he's a maker. But, you know, sometimes those channels over there, they choke a little bit. You know, and just it's just the way the system is out there. And I'm surprised that
Charles
got through. Yeah, I'm surprised Charles got through. He said they got a great storm that's going on over there in Canada. But you know, as Elder William was talking about the process of what he was saying, you know, just had a great testimony how the scriptures come to fruition and come to life. And I think about you know, it also, you know, it backs up, like Elder was saying, it backs up with Mark 9:23, and it's such a great testimony about the man who had the demonic son. But when he was saying that, you know, you begin to flow in the spirit, the Holy Ghost begins to speak to you. And the Bible talks about a belief system in place that will not go void. And that's according to the word. We can read it over and over again. You know, he said trust, you know, trust in the Lord. Yeah, just lean. I mean, it's just as the man Charles saying, you know, the devil going to try to put a lot of stuff. His job is to, you know, he's the persecutor. You know, that's his job.
Right.
He's the persecutor in turn. That's his job, is to persecute you. And I think that when he said that, when Elder William said that, is Psalms 46 kind of, you know, and it kind of rings a bell, you know. God is a refuge, you know. And
that's
how,
right.
You know, when he said it's a strength. And you know what? You know, I'm going to open this up with Charles also, because I don't want to leave Charles out there. I know he's in Canada, but I'm hoping.
Oh,
I'm
tuning in, believe me. Yeah, I was just thinking as you two were speaking there, some people out there, they have situations in life.
Yeah.
You can't trust any man, and there's no one else to turn to but God.
Wow.
That's the only option you have.
That's exactly it.
And for me, that was my only option.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Yeah, you know, and God was the only one I was able to trust. That would there just wasn't anybody else. And
been there.
And trust starts with a single step on your part of faith. It's a single step of faith, and it reminds me of I think it's James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Availeth much. Yes, King James Version.
Yeah.
Availeth much.
Amen.
And I think it was just it's just trusting in God. He just starts to pick you up, and despite the circumstances that are surrounding us, and it teaches us today, and anybody else who is listening, is don't judge by your circumstances. Try not to look at that. You know, look up, right? Yeah, if you
Amen.
Come north,
Amen.
South, east, or west, look up. And so,
I learned a long time ago. Amen. I learned a long time ago. Your circumstances and your situations, even your past, is not what defines you. What defines you is your faith in God, because that's the only thing that's going to elevate you. And you know, I put into practice something I learned a long time ago that was simply this. Whenever situations occur and problems arise, instead of talking about and focusing on and looking at your situation, why don't you focus on and look at and talk to God, who's bigger than any situation that you can come into.
Man,
you know,
hit
right on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you know. Hebrews 11:2 says, for by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony or a good report. Again, like Pastor Charles says, it's all about your faith. It's all about developing your faith. When you have the faith to keep to believe and trust the testimony of God, again, then God gives you your testimony. Your testimony his testimony becomes your testimony.
Amen. Yes.
So when we do things like this, you know, again, God seeks to meet you at the point of your need. That's why the Bible tells us in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Because man's limitation is God's opportunity.
Amen.
You have the faith.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And when we talk about trials and whatnot, I think of the Israelites and when they were going towards the Red Sea, and some people could see the Red Sea as a barrier. But, you know, it teaches me that God brings us through the barriers, not around.
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
I think
not
God,
over, under, but through.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because if God just took away the problem, then our faith wouldn't grow, right?
Exactly.
How would we experience God if he just took away the problem? We wouldn't
Amen.
Grow,
That's
would
right.
we, when I think about
Amen.
It? Yeah. So.
Amen. Kerry was talking about Hebrews, all that Hebrews, but, you know, As you know, you think about Hebrews. I mean, with all that we're saying, we think about Hebrews. He said, "Now you ain't got to read all of Hebrews 11:6." But he said, "Without faith." I mean, he explains what the possibility is without faith. But if you can just get the first part of the increments of just that scripture, without even looking, he said, "Without faith." And then he said, "If you pull faith out of the equation, then there is no possibility to please him," because he said, "Without faith, it is impossible." You can't do it.
Amen.
He said, "Whoever draws near to God," look here. He said, he gives you the inclination of how you got a guaranteed promise to come out of what he in. He said, "Whoever draws near to God must believe." It ain't no if.
That's right.
The man of God in Mark 9:23, when Jesus was dealing with them on Mount Transfiguration, and Peter couldn't shut his mouth up, but you know, the disciples down there messing, you know, the Pharisees down there messing with them disciples about why they can't heal this little demonic boy. And then Jesus
proposes
about the whole situation to the point that, what are y'all talking about? Well, this man has a demonic son, and the father ain't got the ability to heal him, but then we have been disciples following you and watching miracles all our life. That's what happens when you don't understand. When you see the testimonies about you being around people to see what they come out of, and say you can come out of it. See, the disciples was around the boy. They was around Christ all those years to see the miracles that Christ did. But now that they were on their own, they couldn't do it. They couldn't duplicate. And that's bad when you are a man of God and you can't duplicate what you see, at least do a CSI in the spirit to find out how it can be done. That's where your failure comes in at. That's why it comes back in Hebrews, says, "For it is impossible to please him." That whosoever draws to God must be, you got to see, he said, "Where's the Father?" You keep showing you, "Where's the Father?" You know, and it's, I mean, what do you mean? He's walking with you. He's walking with me. He's walking with Charles.
Hello?
He's right there with us. Kerry just
talked
to
him. That's right. Great.
I mean, I just had a little talk with him. That's all I did. We're talking, having a talk with him in a situation
that I was unable
to control. And it was dealing with a few dollars. You feel me? God ain't got $400, $300, $200, 50 cents. Come on now. Who you think you're dealing with, chump? I'm dealing with a creative designer, engineer of me and myself that tells me, according to the word of God of Philippians, what did it say, Philippians? "For my God," didn't he say it, "will supply all
supply.
My needs."
Come
on, man. It ain't no limitations in the kingdom. The limit is in what you think in your mind. But the Bible tells me if you get your mind right, was that Romans? What that Romans 12:2? "Be not conformed." So you no longer like them anymore. Yeah, you're different. You walk in power. You walk in grace.
So
you got a God that can take and supply all of your, what is it, 46? Psalm 4. He supply all of your needs. Or he's a very present help.
Amen.
A very present time of need.
Okay.
My God is not a lacking God. Who you think you're talking to?
I know that's real.
I mean, you know,
the word
even though
says,
it is bad for me in my shadows of the valleys of death, I still know that I'm walking through all the persecutions. God is just still delivering me and teaching me and changing me and showing me. Have faith.
That's right. The word of God says even of itself that it's already settled in heaven. Now, the trick is for it to be settled in the hearts of men. once it's settled in the hearts of men, then the God that's in men is what takes over, and then we truly begin to see miracles. But again, that's why we have to have the faith. It has to be settled in our spirit. And when you have a testimony, when you have a testimony that pleases God, the Bible says what? It says that when a man's ways pleases God, he what?
Yeah.
He gives it out of his heart, right?
Yeah. What is your desire?
Your desire
is based on how your faith is. Delivered desire is based on how your faith is. The Bible says you doubted in your mind already, then you already lost your what? Your faith. He says, so is a man what?
Thinketh.
So shall it. That's the word says that.
That's the word.
I mean, that ain't me. He told you. That if you can hang around unbelievers, why are they so guilty about what? Who you associate
Amen.
With.
Amen.
You associate with, you know, okay. Don't cry about it, Tito. You know, because you got to know.
Right.
Jehoshaphat knew.
Pray about it and believe.
Yeah, God had to deal with Jehoshaphat. You know your favorite scriptures, Elder Carey, over there in that verse
yes,
6.
Sir.
He began to question God. And that was 26. He began to ask God,
"Don't
you a father?" Now Jehoshaphat was a man of God. Now why do you want to challenge God to what you already know? Oh Lord, oh Father, oh God, aren't you the God in heaven? Now what are you talking about, Jehoshaphat?
That's right. Aren't you the God that created all of this?
You know what I'm saying?
I love what he told me. I love it verse where Jehoshaphat says that our eyes are upon you.
Come on, man. Yeah.
In other words, he took everything, all the calamity, this great host that was coming against him.
Come on, man.
And he put it right back in the hands of God.
Yeah.
And
yes.
That's what we have to have the faith to do.
That's right.
Yes.
No
and, you know, when I think about Job, it's like my wife said, you know, we can look at the scriptures today and we get encouraged by them, right? And we get strengthened by them. We get powered by them. They enlighten us, right? And we feed off the scriptures. But when I think what Job was going through and his trial, he had no scriptures to feed off of. All he had was his relationship.
Spirit. That's right.
Right.
He had his dependence on the Spirit of God.
That's right.
He had his relationship with God, and he trusted God, even though he had no Bible to look at. And tell you the truth, guys, my mind can't even go there. It's hard for me to even think, not having the scriptures. But just
scripture.
I hear you.
You know, being in his
look at it. We testify.
Wow.
We're talking about the power of God. Job, we talk about the letter. When we're talking about walking with the Holy Spirit, now, I'm going to go off the scale of somebody because some people can't deal with what I'm saying. The letter is fine. It's wrong with you read the letter. But Deuteronomy makes a very strong statement about the mysteries. And then Romans comes back and tell you that you are heir in a joint heir. So whatever God has, you have. And if the letter that everybody can begin to quote, but God said, hold on, that's the separation between the letter and the spirit. But the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost. See, I can quote a lot, but God said, I will give you an undescribable word. See, you can read scripture, but God said, there's something behind the scenes. You see, he said, it's for you to know mysteries. Everybody can read a word, but that's where the separation comes now. See, the Bible talks about how we all can quote scripture and read word, but the word of God said, there's another word that comes within the scripture, and it's called a mysterious word, which is called the heaven of God. It's for you to
now
know the mystical things. You can't get in this by just words and letters alone. He said, for the letter was going to kill you. Because now when you get the letter, you conform to the way that you think is right and not what God is right.
Amen.
So we go back to Proverbs 3 and 5. Okay, what did he say? Mean not to what? Your own.
I don't understand it.
But acknowledging means to get down on your knees like Carrie did today. Let me have a little talk with Jesus. Yeah, I don't see nothing in the scripture to tell me that God won't supply all of my needs. According
Come
to
on.
His riches and glory. I'm dealing with somebody who I can go through was called Christ Jesus that died for
that's
the remission
right.
of all my sins. And no weapons. Right. See, that's where the word comes in. It's in the Chronicles. See, Jesus never wanted the people to know anything about what he was saying because they wouldn't see. You don't want nobody in your house that ain't supposed to be in your house. You don't invite people in your house that you know and you're comfortable with. Why you want to invite a stranger? And then if he did go and get it, he can't come back and repeat it anyway. Because God will mess him up. Because you can't steal from the Holy Ghost. Am I in there with somebody?
Amen.
You can try.
As a matter
whenever
of fact,
God gives you something, you can't take it back. Can't nobody take
that's
it from
right.
you. God gave it to you. And can't no man
that's
take it
right.
away.
As a matter of fact, Apostle, that was the problem with the Pharisees. They had the living Son of God walking amongst them, standing in front of them. See, a lot of people don't understand the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, the spiritual law. And see, the Pharisees were stuck on the letter of the law. They were stuck on the law of Moses. And the problem with that is that they missed what God was trying to do in the spirit. And the Bible lets us know, and we see so clearly so much evidence of this in action today. But the Bible says, and always will say, that God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's a testimony.
It's I like
fine.
That word, yeah.
And it's all right to be in a church. But here's the difference. The physical church that's brick and mortar, that's for and according to the spirit of the letter. But the real spirit, the real church, just as God is spirit, so also is his church, the ecclesia, the called out. The real, it's not enough to be in a church, but the church has to be in you. The spirit of the living God has to be in you, which consumes it, which creates and makes up the church. Or God's spiritual Israel. And today, people are drawn to the charisma, and they miss the move of the Spirit. So this is why the keeping of the testimony is so important. Because we go back to what? John, the first chapter? You know, that they believe not the testimony that God gave of his Son. And I still remember that word that Pastor Albright spoke on that.
1 John 5:17,
God's testimony of you.
Yeah, that's the word of God. Yeah, I've testified.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit testifies of his word.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the Holy Ghost.
The Spirit. That is God's testimony of his own Son. And it translates through the Spirit into the Word for us. And so we've got we got to understand that this is all spiritual battle. This is a spirit. We are in the midst of a battle, a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. There's the spirit of the devil and Antichrist battling against the Spirit of God for the spirit of man. We're caught in the middle of that. But the Bible says what? That any man, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation.
Yeah.
And that's the whole difference right there.
Yeah.
The whole all things all have become new. The former has passed away. So we've got to understand that what you see doesn't match up with what God's doing. But you've got to see God in the Spirit. You've got to know God in order to see what he's doing in the Spirit. That's why Apostle Charles, we're talking about today, God uses foolishness things in this world to confound the wisdom. He used the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise of this world.
Good one. Yeah. That's true. I think of that scripture in Revelation. Help me with this, you guys. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Testimony,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we can use our testimony. And
that's the Holy Spirit testifying of the works. That through the Holy Ghost.
That's the most powerful yeah, that's the most powerful sermon you could ever give is your testimony, your personal testimony.
Because it's
testimony.
That's
the most powerful sermon you could ever give.
Yeah, the angels looking to see what's going on, what God's doing with you. The angels say, man, what they doing with him? What God doing with him? What God doing with him? They say,
amen.
They're scratching their heads.
They look into it. They really do. They really amazed by what God is doing through us. I'm serious, man. God,
that's right.
I'm telling you, man. They are amazed because God's doing more powerful things. See, the Bible says we're just made a little bit lower than the angels, but I got to reverse that. I don't care what anybody says. God does magnificent things to his creator. When he said that we was made in the image of him,
that's,
and we
that's
designed
exactly
to be just
it.
Like him, come on, man, of God.
That's exactly it.
And
when God breathes
right?
the breath of life, when God literally breathed the breath of life into each and every one of us, the Bible says that man became a living soul. Is that Genesis 2 and 26? The Bible lets us know right then and there that when God did that very act, he placed a part of himself into each and every one of us. That's what makes us so special. That's what makes us his crown and glory of his creation, because we have part of the living God in us. Man is a spirit.
Yeah.
God is spirit.
Yeah.
That's
why
mind blowing when you try and.
Go ahead, Charles. Go ahead, hold on.
No, I was just saying what he was saying that it when you sing a part of the living God, the creator of the universe, the creator of me, it's like my mind doesn't even, my natural mind does not have the capacity.
It can't.
To fully think that. Like, even when I'm thinking about, just as I'm talking to you guys, I'm thinking about wrapping my brain around it. It's like, my brain just doesn't have that capacity to.
Let's make it. Let's make something clear. We got to get out of here, but look, take your Bible, whatever verse you want to read from. Go to the book of Corinthians. Go to the book of Corinthians. I want you to go to the book of Corinthians. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. And I want you to look at the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, most people don't understand the capacity of what God is saying. But we said these things only can be revealed through the Spirit. When you look at the word of 1 Corinthians, the word of God says over here, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, look around that ninth verse.
Yeah.
Now, he's talking spiritual stuff here. See, because he said it has been written. Now, that's the word of God.
Yeah,
I mean it wasn't something that just man just wrote, and he's gonna prove it to you around the 10th and 11th verse. He said, "If I add this is written, then mean the God before the world was even pumped into the heart of the apostle, before they even put it on paper, God said it's already been written. If you go back to the book of Genesis, he declared that already in the beginning. That was
exactly.
Nothing. But God now said, not a word is coming for wisdom about the work that I'm doing through the apostles here on earth, who my son chose to come down here on earth." What is it? Hebrews 12? To show you how this is supposed to be done. I'm the author and the finisher. It wasn't long because he didn't have time to play with nobody. He said, I got to get it and I got to get out of here because I got something I got to do. But he goes on over here and he thinks about it. He said, but it is written that eyes have not seen. Now, right there, men come through education. But God said, it's got to be done through revelation. He said, neither have it entered into. Look here. Before a breath ever being blown into us. He said, our heart can't even find the things that God has prepared for you. When God created us, he created us to be what? Overtakers. He created the earth for us to be what? To take over the earth.
He created us.
Put us in it last. It's for us to have dominion over it. Superiority.
Exactly.
But look what it says over in the 10th verse. But God has revealed, the only way you're going to get the 9th, the 8th, the 9th verse is God got to reveal it through the Spirit. For the spirit is the thing that's going to search the deepest thing. See, man can't search the soul of another man. Hebrews say it's quick and it's sharp, and then he needed two edged swords. You can't get out of it. A human can't get out in that. But he comes down
come
to
on.
The verse. He says, well, what a man knows, come on, somebody, you better hear me when I'm talking to you. Man only knows what he wrote, his published, his books, these things, that got that in the other. But the Bible says, the spirit of man, which is in him, even the things that God knows, that what they're going to say it. That man knows, hold on. Man knows the things.
No one
knows. What man knows the things of man. Listen to how he said this. If you could catch that part of that, man know what man knows. But what about the one who created the man? Say the spirit which is in him.
Yeah.
Now he goes to the second
Amen.
Half. Says, even so the things of, look here, man. Y'all hear this? Even so the things of God knoweth no man.
Back That's right.
They say, no man knows the things of a man, but save the spirit which is in him. Then when you look at commentary,
right.
you look at breakdowns, you look at all these things. The Holy Spirit put that on me a long time ago, man of God. That the only way you're going to receive it and grab the word through the script. It, look here, I might as well go and let the cat out of the bag. It ain't how much you study the scripture. The Bible does say study the scripture self-approval, but it's how you be able to talk to God when you're on your knees. God said, I will give you an undescribable word. I will give you things that
yes,
man can't put in print. I'll blow your brain
yes, sir.
Off
yes,
your
sir.
Wacky head. That's
yes,
the power
sir.
Of God. When you look at the
yes.
scripture in Corinthians, it says, I will give you an undescribable word. Things attained in the scriptures, man is known to understand that now he's come to the point that now he knows it so good he can quote it. But God said, but that's another part. They know the physical, but they don't know the spirit. That's why you got to have the Holy Ghost. Because God's going to give you something even contained in the Chronicles. You're going to say, where that come from? That's fresh off the press. That's why Jesus told his disciples. It's for you to know the mystery.
Amen.
You know, Gary, the Pharisees knew the word, and they changed the Swiss at the moment every week.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's
Figure
exactly
that.
What I'm saying. You already know.
give me your last words, Charles, and then we're going to have Elder Carey to give him his last words, and we're going to push out of here, man of God.
Okay, well, what do you want to do? Shall we end in prayer, I guess, you guys, maybe?
No, you're going to give us a last word. Just, you know, give us a word about
a last
the power.
Word
you know,
I have
We're going to close out, but we're going to just give us about, you know, come on, man.
Okay, I got something.
You enjoy
this. This is first. it kind of backs up what we were talking about. This is, if you guys have your Bibles, it's in the same chapter, and I highlighted this verse over 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, I highlighted this verse. It's 1 Corinthians 2:14, and it kind of describes what we were talking about. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them. Because get this, here's the clicker. Look at this, you guys. Here's the clicker. Because they are spiritually discerned. So sometimes you find yourself trying to tell people about God, they just don't get it. They don't want to listen. They are just spiritual. They choose to be spiritually discerned. You know, you can bang your head against the wall and never get through. It's like you said, Charles, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. They don't want to hear. But that's what kept running through my head, Charles, as you were talking about that 1 Corinthians 2:9.
Oh, man. Come on, Elder Williams.
Hey, man, we might as well stay right there then, because I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm looking at verse 13. Verse 13 says, these things we also speak, not in words with, and this just goes with Brother Charles just saying, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches,
comparing
spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, it's all spiritual. It's all about the spirit that
Holy
you
Ghost.
Choose to walk in. Spirit
and
point blank.
Amen. Awesome, guys.
All right. Father God, we thank you and bless you for this opportunity to have this great man of God, the man of God, Elder Carey Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. We thank you for the man of God, Minister Charles Orsnick. Do I got that right, Charles? His name is Judah.
Yeah, you
Orsnick.
Got it.
Because I messed that up in a minute. But Father God, even as we begin to come off the line, we ask you to give praise to the woman, the man of God, out in New Haven, Connecticut. The woman of God, Apostle Bernice Gibbs, and the man of God, Pastor Willie Gibbs. We thank God for the work that they're doing and completing some prayers with us at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. And I thank God for the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, here in Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. And I thank God for Dr. Albright. He made it get through tonight, but God bless him. We send a word of the wisdom over to his house, the power, the presence of the Spirit over his family. Protect them and keep them. And Father God, even as we go into this holiday season, Lord, keep us protected, keep us safe and sound. From all hurt, harm, and danger, Father God, let us recognize the fact that it was men who fell for us in the middle of battle. that we made to understand and realize, Father God, there was something that they made a way for us to be what we call pioneers. Pioneers. And Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, even lay down at night and sleep. It was all because of them, Father God, that we had this opportunity for what we call the tree of life. So, Father God, as we close out, we declare the word, we decree it. We ask you to look over these men of God. We ask you to protect them and keep them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you, Father God, that the man of God over in Canada can keep him safe from those storms. In the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you to bless our friend, Elder Williams. Father God, we thank you for this timeless moment. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord. Amen. God bless you guys for being with us on the night.
Amen. God bless you.
Hope
you
on next Tuesday. All right.
Hey, God bless you guys.
God bless you.
All right. Take care. Okay. God bless you. Bye.